You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matt Leach, talking Baltimore Orioles with MLB.com's Orioles beat reporter, Brittany Giroli. So after a very encouraging return to catching, Matt Wieters got a little bit of bad news almost right after it. He's going to be shut down for a little while from catching. Where exactly does that leave Wieters, and where do the Orioles go from here?
In actual Grapefruit League play, they've got about 2.5 weeks to go, so it's going to be an issue. Can he get back on the field catching, and can he build up enough innings for them to feel okay with him being behind the plate for opening day? Now, manager Buck Showalter said they probably would not take Wieters on the opening day roster if he can't at least be an option at catcher. So it could definitely change what they do with the roster, who makes the club, and really the construction of things for at least the first few games if Matt Wieters isn't ready to go.
We talked about Evers Cabrera when they brought him in, and I was struck by the idea of using him in the outfield. I know he's got speed, and so there's something to that, but this guy who's an awfully good defensive infielder, what's the thought process there?
Well, the thought process is how can he help this team? How can he fit in for the Orioles? And when you look at who they have, Jonathan Schoop, Brian Flaherty, they've got guys who are able to move around in the infield. Now, Cabrera has almost exclusively played shortstop at the major league level. The Orioles have J.J. Hardy, pretty good shortstop, probably not going anywhere. So, you know, they've had Cabrera take a lot of reps at second base. They haven't had him in the outfield yet, but plans on doing that more the second half of camp here, so expected in the coming weeks. But they're just looking for him to be versatile. If he's going to make this club, he's probably going to make this club as a utility guy who can add some speed off the bench. So being able to play the corner outfield spot, being able to hold his own, would certainly help benefit the Orioles. Buck likes having guys that he can work in and out of the lineup. Cabrera, though right now, to me, it looks like he'd probably be slotted at AAA to start the season. He presents a guy who is versatile, adds that speed component to the team.
And that does actually, you sort of answer my next question, is what are his chances of breaking camp with the big club?
Yeah, I mean, there's always a chance. You never know about injuries and what the next, you know, 3.5 weeks or so is going to entail, but, you know, he hasn't been all that impressive. He's gotten picked off. He's gotten caught stealing, I believe it was twice. Offensively, he's been okay. He's gotten a little more comfortable lately, but you can't really make the case that Ryan Flaherty and Jonathan Schoop haven't outperformed him in camp, and part of the reason they signed him was because they were going to be able to sign him with a minor league option. So I think if camp were to break today, again, there's a lot more to come still, but he would probably start to keep that AAA Norfolk.
I preface with already the second time in 10 minutes that I'm scouting stats here, and there's nothing worse than scouting the stats when you're trying to do analysis. With that said, there's an awful lot to like in Chris Davis's batting line this spring. Despite the 230 batting average, he's not striking out a ton. He's drawing walks. He's hit three balls out of the park. How do his at-bats look? Does he look like a guy who is taking good at-bats and maybe giving some encouraging signs?
Yeah, he is, and you mentioned it with the spring stats. It's hard to tell, and it really is. But, you know, he seems comfortable. He seems relaxed. I think the fact that he's been working some deep counts has certainly helped. He seems to be really a guy who thinks that he has to prove himself again this spring. And I think there are guys who respond differently to different situations. I think Davis feels like he's been written off from last year, and it's almost like two springs ago when he was going to be the Orioles starting first baseman and had yet to really cement himself in the major leagues. He feels like he has to prove himself again, and to him, that's a good thing. I think there are certain guys who don't like that scenario. Davis, I believe, thrives in it. I think he's going to have a good year for them. Now, obviously, he's still got that one-game suspension opening day, which could really mess with what they do with the roster for at least one game, but I do like the way he's looking at the plate. Defensively, he's always been a good defensive player, and he's also a guy who they've been trying in right field a lot this spring, so there are certainly options where Steve Pierce could play first base, Chris Davis could play right field, to keep both of them fresh, to keep them engaged and in the game. They're going to do that a lot during the season as well.
To keep bouncing around here, the O's just recently sent down their number 1, 2, and 3 prospects. What did you see from those guys in camp, and what might be ETAs for Harvey, for Bundy, and for Walker?
Well, I think, you know, with Harvey and Bundy, it's just a matter of getting them some innings. They needed to get out of camp. They got to get some of these other guys stretched out, and they want to keep those guys on the schedule. Now, Hunter Harvey, some believe, in the organization that he's a little ahead of Dylan Bundy. And, you know, a lot of that could change depending on what happens during the minor league season. But they really felt like Hunter Harvey was very composed. He was very confident. He fit in very well in his first big league spring training. Bundy, it's hard to believe, will be out of options after this year. So this is a big year for him to prove himself. Both of them I expect to see sometime in an Orioles uniform. Now, whether that's during the season or not until the September call-up, depends on how they're pitching, depends on the need of the team. But they are both not very far away from helping this big league club. And I think watching them again this spring helps the Orioles feel good about where they're at pitching depth-wise. Now, Walker is a guy that they feel like needs to put it together a little bit more at the major league level. He was up a little bit last year. They got to see him. But he's a guy who consistently just needs to put it together offensively and defensively. They like his bat. They feel like his glove could improve a little bit. He needs to get a little bit better with range. They're such a defensive-heavy club. Buck has really implemented that since he got here, that if you can't defend, if you're going to cost them out, you're not going to be up with the Orioles. So that's really the main thing to watch with a guy like Christopher Walker.
Does he have any opportunity to play anywhere besides first base? Because that first base DH spot seems fairly clogged.
Yeah, that's the other issue, too, with him is I don't know defensively if they'd want to try him anywhere else, but I don't know if he'd be built to be anywhere else either. I haven't heard anything that would suggest he's going anywhere else. And like you said, the first base DH slot is clogged. I mean, you've got a ton of guys there. They're going to work Pearson, Chris Davis. They've got a lot of guys who they feel like can get the job done. Now, maybe in another year or two, they could figure out a way to get Walker in there. But right now, I haven't heard anything about him switching positions.
And you had an interesting piece a few days ago about the Orioles talking to their players about analytics. And the main thing you focused on was just sort of them understanding what's good and what's bad in particular numbers. But I was really interested in that. What are they trying to accomplish? What does the club hope to gain from having these presentations and talking to these guys about analytics?
Oh, I think Buck wants them to not be afraid of it. So he kind of called it sabermetrics for dummies. Bullpen coach Tom Cheney is going to talk to the team the next day or two, I think, about it. And they just want them to embrace the different statistics that they're using to evaluate players. And I think that there seems to be, in baseball, a divided camp between people who are sabermetric people and people who are old-school baseball people. And Buck's just trying to bridge that gap. He wants these guys to understand what a good WOBA is and things like that, what WAR means, what's a good WAR, what's a bad WAR. He just wants these guys to understand that a little bit more. And he felt like having Dom Cheney, having a guy who's not a sabermetric guy, so to speak, give this talk would help hopefully bridge that gap.
I guess what I wonder about, taking a step further, and they may not be going there, what really intrigues me is there's some of the stuff that can really help a player. I mean, you look at things like the whole concept of fielding independent pitching, batting average on balls in play, ground ball rate, the kinds of things where pitchers maybe could understand better that sometimes you just can't control your giving up singles, control the things you can. Is there any of that kind of stuff, or is it really sort of just an intro right now?
I think it's just an intro. I don't know how deep they're going to get into things. I think Buck just wants to expose them to as much as he can. And I agree, it could definitely help the players, but I don't know how specific they're going to get into this. This could be the first meeting of several. I don't know, but all I know is they're going to try to get these guys to at least have a fundamental understanding of what's going on with some of these stats.
All right. Well, Brittany Droley, thanks for taking some time to chat here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks everybody for listening.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is now available. Watch over 250 spring training games and every regular season game live or on demand in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices, every night, on every device. Visit MLB.tv for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply.